Again, we greet you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of New Orleans and greet you in the name of the Lord. We praise the Lord for you and that you tune in with us, and what a gracious Bible study He gave us in the last hour. Our dear Heavenly Father, we want to praise Thy name that Thou art with us this morning. We thank Thee for the precious Holy Spirit that abides in us and leads us and guides us and reveals the living Christ to our hearts and exalts Him and magnifies Him, which we are grateful for and rejoice because it magnifies our Lord and it exalts Him. Praise the Lord this morning. Is the one song of our hearts. Praise the Lord for His marvelous, marvelous work in our midst, for His marvelous grace, for His redemptive work. And our Father, lead us and guide us and keep us in this hour. And may the Holy Spirit breathe upon us into every heart. May hearts be broken. Sinners come to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Lead us and guide us for Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Now, this broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers. Now, let us turn to number 227 and sing "To God Be the Glory." Number 227. we could say that over and over again. Great things He hath done. And we praise the Lord for this crowd that we have here this morning. I would you in Radio Land can see the number of people we have. That shows forth the grace of God in our midst. And we just praise Him that He sent you this way. He's given us a gracious day, a beautiful day. Now, in regards to the services, there will be no services at all tonight in none of the missions, none here. But we will have services all this week, Monday through Friday. Dr. Copeland, who's with us this morning from Waco, Texas, he will bring the messages each night, Monday through Friday, and also next Sunday morning and Sunday night, and as the Lord leads. And we give you a special invitation to be with us every night. No services tonight, but come and be with us tomorrow night. And because many of us express how much you enjoyed Dr. Copeland's message when he was here and then read it in the Voice of Truth magazine, so you come and be with us. And I'm sure your heart's going to be blessed. I'm looking forward to the messages each night. And also this one this morning. Now, we're going to do something this morning that we haven't done, I guess, for a little while. But the Lord has been laying a burden upon my heart in regards to this work. And I know our late pastor always, when the fellowship time came around, he would present to the people a need, a program, you might say, for that year, that we'd be able to go forward in the work. And we have a need here that you may not be aware of. And unless something is done about it, I think it will just become a tragedy. Now, you're part of our family, the Christian family of this ministry, and we accept every one of you as such. The Lord has laid all of you upon my heart. I read your letters. We gather them at the office, bring them home, sit down and read them. I weep with you. I rejoice with you. I praise the Lord for you. And bringing you before the throne of God's grace, especially you who say that you're not saved, that you want to know Christ. Now that's the responsibility, that's the burden of the pastor that God has put in a responsible position to guard the sheep, to feed the sheep, pray for them. Because knowing the situation, the troubles they're in. But I want to present this to you this morning. May I say this? I know I've been bringing a couple of messages, two or three messages along the line of giving. And how cheerful and how a believer or anyone should give and give hilariously. And I believe it does us good. I like to see a happy people. And I think one of the ways that you can express your happiness is to become a giving people. And I believe you'll be a joyous people and a contented people. Now, I found that so. And like I've expressed it before over and over again, you and I cannot be God-giving. He will not allow it. You'll give and He'll double give. I know that. Now, you think that. Now, I know it's always been the case many times. I know I hear from some places, well, the preacher's always preaching for money. He's always asking for money. He's always looking for money. Well, we have to realize it takes money to go on, huh? It takes money to carry on the Lord's work as much as your own business. And so, I have a problem this morning, and I'm asking you if you would help me in this problem. It's a burden that I believe that you can help me carry and take some of the load off. Now, down here in the front, you'll realize if you come step down here that if you don't go through one of those holes there, you're very fortunate. And this situation, this portion down here is resting on the ground. Am I right, Brother Grammer? It's resting on the ground here. Now, but it's deteriorating, and we need a new floor down this portion especially. And we went ahead and got a figure on what it would cost to cement all of this down here to where we wouldn't have to bother with it anymore, being it's resting on the floor. Now, this part will cost this church around $600 to cement all this here in the front. But we're also thinking of something else. We're thinking about the flooring in here. We need a good flooring and good seats. And being this is the house of the Lord, I believe we ought to give it the best place, make it the best place of worship to receive our Lord. And now I gave a general figure. It was to be around $5,000. Now, that will not cover the whole cost of everything, but that's a good beginning, I believe. If we can get from you this morning $5,000 in pledges, you say that's a lot of money. Well, it is. But if I believe if everybody gives and everybody feels the need and the urgency of the situation and feels and realize for what it's going to, it's not going for any one particular person or group, but all for the glory of the Lord, I believe you'll forget about the need of your own self and that $5,000 being such a great figure in your giving. I think you will evaluate the two, which is far better, is to give God all the glory, give Him the best. And just let us forget about how much $5,000 is. Huh? Let's do that. Now, I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you how I got a good start. Coming down from Texas with Dr. Copeland, I didn't realize this, but we were discussing the problem. He said, it's a very good thing. I'm all for it. And so I believe the Lord convicted him while we were talking. I don't think he rested very good that night. He had to call me the next morning. He says, I'll pledge the first $50. And we were talking in terms of $50. Now, if I can get 50 people here to give $50 in pledges, that'll be $2,500 right there. Now, I wonder if we have 50 people in this audience, and I believe we ought to. Now, I'm going to be the second one. Dr. Copeland was first. I'll be the second. And is there 50 people that I can gather from you to give to contribute $50 towards the repairs of this tabernacle? How much it will go forth in the repairing of it? Now, who's going to take the names or something? All right, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Brother Weiss. All right. 5, Brother Thompson. 6, Brother Swanson. 7, Brother Lessinger. I wonder, well, what am I going to do now? Oh, my golly, I don't know all these names. But we're doing all right. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, keep your hands up. Let's see if we got 50. Somebody count. Brother Lester, come up here. Or stand up. Come on and stand up, all of you. Now, let's see if we got 50 people. I don't know how to count. How about you count, Brother Lester? Yeah. Look up there, too, up there on the rostrum, I mean. And way up there in the booth. Now, Brother Lessinger is going to, Brother Messer is giving out these cards, and it states on there about, I'm going to read it to you. Realizing the need of flooring the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue, I hereby indicate my desire to have a part. Therefore, I will endeavor by the grace of God to give the sum first of your $50. If we have 100, that's good. I was going to say 100, but I think I'd get more by 50. Wonderful. And we got a couple of more. Brother Macbeth is one. 49. And Brother Todd's and Brother Harris. That's 51. Good. All right. Now, thank you very much. Now, that's 2,500. Now, if you haven't gotten a slip, lift up your hands and he'll give you one. They'll give you one. Don't miss any of them, Brother Messer. Looking back of you down there. Looking back of you. Brother Holliday. Praise the Lord. And Brother Charles here. All right. Now, I'll give another opportunity for some of you, too. If I can get 50 people to give $25. I wonder how many get $25. Stand to your feet, please. All right, $25. Thank you. Any more? Don't be bashful. $25. I wonder how many is to give $10. Stand to your feet, please. Who will give $10? All right, fine. Now, we're going to pass the cards out to everybody. Give everybody one. And you could even give $5 or $1. But we do praise the Lord for this response this morning. And maybe you might want to change your mind. If you're given 25, you might want to give 50. Or you might want to give 100. All right. Now, we've taken enough time for that. But I know you're here this morning. The Lord sent you this way. And this is what we call an ordination service. So we just praise the Lord for it. We praise the Lord the way He's working in our midst here this morning. Yes, sir. If you can give your pledge as soon as possible, that would be appreciated. Or if you think you can wait 3 or 4 months, that's all right too. But the sooner the better, because we do want to get started down here, at least to have all of this down here finished by next fellowship day. But we praise the Lord for your generosity this morning, and may the blessings of our Lord rest upon you. I know you'll be happy. Now, I know what goes before an ordination service in my respect. I never thought that I would have the opportunity like I have this morning, although I have been telling you over and over again in the message, some message along the line, how the Lord saves a sinner. But then usually that would include me. I would be preaching to myself and just telling you about myself, how God saved me. You probably won't hear too many things too differently, and maybe you will. But I do praise the Lord that He did awaken me back in 1952. And if I can remember correctly, I believe it was in February. And that was a time of a fellowship meeting we had. It was a fellowship day like this, though it was across the street. Some people were concerned with my soul. I praise the Lord for that. Some encouraged me. I know I lived in Marrera, and I had some people coming there to visit with me. It didn't interest me too much because I didn't know a whole lot. I didn't know about salvation. I didn't know about Christ. I didn't know that salvation was different than what I had. But it was only as the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart back in 1952, in February. I never forget it. Some would come to me and say, "Herman, it's good to see you here. I've been hoping you'd come for a long time." Some would say, "I've been praying for you." Some would say, "Well, I didn't think the Lord would ever let you go." And as you know, I've been away in the war. When I look back and see how the Lord, God's providence followed me, protected me, brought me to the place, to the time when He would begin to deal with my heart, when I know that my life could have been snapped out way before that time, how much more now I rejoice when I look back and see it was God's care, His providence, His watchfulness over me that would bring me to 1952 when He would begin to deal with my heart for salvation. I know it amazed me when I would come and see others disinterested. Didn't care. Knowing that God opened my eyes and my heart and see the little interest in the hearts of others, it sort of amazed me in a way. It struck me. I know I would tell some, I'd say, "Come on, let's go into the Sunday school hour. Let's go hear the preached word." I knew how God was dealing with my heart. And I thought surely that's the way He was dealing with other hearts. I would say, "Come on." No. After a while, they'll stay out on the sidewalk, smoke their cigarette and all. And I'd hang my head. Well, I wonder why they're not interested. Here I am. I'm interested. God's awakening me. He's dealing with my heart and He's He's given me a love there for the truth. And I'd come in, go out, Sunday after Sunday. But I begin to see, to recognize that salvation is an inward work of God's Holy Spirit. It begins by the Spirit. It's kept by the Spirit. Delivered by the Spirit of God. And is wrought in the soul by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit. As Romans 2:28 tells us, if we are Christians, we are one inwardly and not outwardly. I didn't know all that was happening then. All they had was a profession. But I knew what was going on in my heart. I knew there was something happening in my heart that I couldn't help but respond to. Now, why is it that others do not respond to the gospel call? It's because the work of the Holy Spirit has not begun in their heart. And I've noticed along at that time there was some under conviction for salvation. And I would do like others. I'd watch them. I'd look at them. Here's an individual who says he's been under conviction for a long time. Here others said they were a short time. Some said were rejoicing in Christ. I didn't find too many rejoicing. I didn't. I looked around to see who was saved, who was not saved. I've got my eyes upon them, and I was wondering. But I praise the Lord that there's that work He was doing in my heart by His Spirit. It did not leave me, my eyes and my heart fixed on individuals. But the Holy Spirit just let me see those things just to teach me. Some have gone longer than I on the Holy Spirit conviction. And some shorter. No two people are saved alike. And no two people go to the same degree of Holy Spirit conviction. The Holy Spirit brought me to see, when He began to open my heart by the Word of God, to teach me out of the book, out of the laws of that book, the Holy Spirit brought me to see my actual transgressions against the law of God. The Word of God came home to my heart in power. Sitting in the audience one Sunday night across the street, the message that God gave to our late pastor, L.R. Shelton, that Sunday night was meant for me. And the text he used was found in Ezekiel 18:4. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And there I was, a sinner. And I was under the sentence of death as a sinner. Galatians 3:10 tells us, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The law requires perfection. God's moral law requires that we keep it perfectly. What a transgressor I saw myself to be. All my thoughts All my deeds, all my actions were against God. Rebellious thoughts, wicked thoughts, hateful thoughts. I saw myself enmity against God as a sinner. And that's true. Every sinner outside of Christ in his natural state is enmity against God. That's right. What a transgressor I saw myself to be. All my thoughts, all my deeds, all my actions were against God. And hateful thoughts. The Lord judged me guilty. The soul that sinned, it shall die. And I died. Guilty. Guilty. I could not deny its charges against me. Guilty. I was made to see myself a sinner by nature, a sinner by practice, and a sinner by God's decree. Have you ever seen yourself like that? Has the Holy Spirit ever opened your heart like it did mine and let you see that you're a sinner by nature, that you're a sinner by practice, and that you're a sinner by God's decree? In the original nature, there is the sin of pride. Now, that's born in every one of us. I know when that group came down to Marrera, I was the most proud individual. They wanted to talk about Christ, I wanted to show them my house. I wanted to show them all the good things in it and what I've accomplished, my car, and the good job and the good family I have. I was boasting the fact of those things that I had. And they were trying to tell me something else, but I wouldn't listen. It just didn't mean a thing in the world to me. And so, but they were very kind to me, which I praised the Lord for. Even then, God should have sent me to hell. Before God saves us, we think that we're somebody come. And that's true. I did. What upright individuals we are. But when God awakened me and showed me my heart, I was made to cry out, "Oh, what a sinner I am." The blessed Holy Spirit showed me that as soon as I was born, I went astray, as thus saith the Lord. I don't know how often I meditated upon the Psalms and upon the 51st Psalm. And see there David crying, and saw my heart as it was, as a sinner. Oh, what a sinner I am. The blessed Holy Spirit showed me that as soon as I was born, I went astray, going in my own way. We go astray as soon as we're born. And how I praise the Lord to this day that He gave me grace to admit all of this, to acknowledge my guilt, to admit that He was right and I was wrong. Have you ever done that? Did you ever acknowledge your sins before God? Did you ever tell God that He was right and that you deserved to go to hell? I know I did. I did. Was conviction such that you saw the wickedness of your heart, the hatefulness of your heart, the rebellion of your heart? And oh, if I could be rid of this heart, this wickedness. To acknowledge my guilt, I knew that God was just if He sent me to hell. I was ready to consign myself to hell. And so is every sinner before God saves him. What grace, what mercy He was extending towards me. What love. Even now as His child, and I believe in every born-again soul, the greatest burden of our hearts is the indwelling corruption that's there. I long to be delivered from this body of sin and corruption. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is the longing of your heart as a believer is to be delivered from this body of sin. I know I am. Yes, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my self-righteousness. And what is self-righteousness? Me, myself, and I. That's exactly what it is. And what is self-righteousness? Self-centeredness. You're taken up with yourself. You're taken up with who you are, what you are. You've got your own religion. And you don't need God's religion. Yes, me, myself, and I. The pride of my heart deceived me. Everyone outside of Christ is a deceived individual. Now, what deceives them? Pride. That's true. Now, why aren't you saved this morning? Because you're pride. You're too full of pride. Pride. You are not willing to take salvation at the hands of another. You're not willing to admit that you're wrong and that God's right. I idolized myself. I was taken up with me, myself, and I. But praise the Lord, He broke the sin of pride and took away self-centeredness, self-righteousness, and gave me Christ's righteousness and Christ-centeredness, which I praise the Lord for this morning. And now it is no more I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Now, is that your life? Is that what you believe? Is that what you know? But there was also the time that I could not believe. The awful sin of unbelief. You say you're saved this morning. Was there ever a time that you saw yourself, you recognized that you could not believe? All your life you thought you did believe. All your life you thought you could believe. You did believe. And you were right. But on the Holy Spirit conviction, there comes a time when the Lord will show you that heart of unbelief. Now that was that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ sent him back when he told his disciples. But we'll get into that after a while. I could believe all of God's judgment upon my sin on the conviction. I could believe all my depravity. And I want to recommend a book to you, especially you who are not saved. If you would read that book, The Total Depravity of Man, like I read it in my early awakening, that total depravity of man, that God the Holy Spirit opened my heart and show me what a depraved individual I was. I tell you, you'll never get away from it. You'll never get away from it. Anybody ever ask me what books I recommend to them to read? I would say, The God of the Bible and The Total Depravity of Man. I'm telling you, the Lord set me straight in those two books. He set me right. Thinking I was somebody come, when I was just nothing but an old, depraved, hell-deserving sinner. Yes, I could believe the judgment of my sin, which I admitted. I admitted all my depravity, and there was the thunderings of the law, and there was God's judgment hanging over my head. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And if you're not in Christ this morning, you're going to die. And that means judgment. But there was a time I could not believe Christ. I could not believe His mercies. I could not believe unto salvation. We know that true faith is wrought in the heart by the Spirit of God. Many of us mistake historical faith with true faith. I had that. And that's what the world has today. Turn loose your faith. That's a historical faith they're talking about. But it's not the true faith. I had that type of faith. So many of us mistake historical faith with true faith. Was there a time that you thought you had no faith, that you saw you had no faith, you could not believe? And how do we believe? We must have it to believe. We believe by faith through grace. Now, salvation's of grace. It's not of works. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. Grace and mercy are gifts. We believe through grace. So therefore, it must be the grace of God working in our hearts. Just to believe that Christ existed or that the Bible is the Word of God is not salvation. I believe that. And I believe that Christ existed. I was taught in religion from my early childhood in the Catholic religion. I was raised up under the influence of religion. And they taught me all about it. But it was just a historical faith. It was not true saving faith. That's the only knowledge I had. And that's what a lot of people have today. And they're plunging into hell, thinking what they have is true faith. That which does not magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, that which does not exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life, is not of God. It's not the work of grace. It's not the work of the Holy Spirit. And I came to see that. It's Christ. Christ. Now, do you know Christ? Do you know Him this morning? Or is your life built upon feelings and emotions and this historical faith? John 16:8-11 tells us about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Quote, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me." Now, if you tell me that you believe when you were a child, and that you was influenced by the gospel when you were a child, unable to understand anything, then I'll say that you do not have true faith. True faith is wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit, who gives us knowledge unto it. Teaches knowledge just to believe that Christ existed is not salvation. Now, I tell you, salvation that's the reason why when we talk about when we're saved, oh, it's grace. Yes, it is grace. He will reprove the world of sin. Of sin because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and ye see Me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now let me ask the question. Like I saw it under Holy Spirit conviction, was there ever a time in your heart, in your life, that you could not believe? Is there ever a time that you ever saw yourself as unrighteous in the sight of God, that you had no righteousness? Did you ever see yourself under the judgment of God? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Show us our unbelief, our unrighteousness, and the judgment that we're under. I tell you, when God was dealing with my heart and bringing me down the road of grace and showing me my heart and showing me everything in this world was under judgment. And the only one that will stand will be those that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I heard it from the pulpit through the message. And the only way that you're going to stand is in Christ. In Christ. May God the Holy Spirit, as I give my testimony, He'll also work something in your, that work of grace in your heart, and let you see where you are. I don't know how long. I went for days. 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 Realizing the judgment of God upon me outside of Christ. How was I to receive this saving faith? How was I to acquire it? Where was I going to get it from? Where was I going to get faith to lay hold of Christ? Romans 10:17, came in power to my heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I know I was going home from one of the services across the street one night. Marrera. And I know as I pulled the car in the garage, oh, if I could only believe, if I could only lay hold of Christ, if I only knew that saving faith. God, the Holy Spirit, brought this particular promise to my heart, this word of encouragement, just seemingly. I know it wasn't an audible voice. It was the voice of the Spirit within. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Therefore, I must hear it. I must hear it. And I'm telling you, you talk about your carelessness in coming to services, hearing the word of God. I don't know if you believe, if you know what conviction is, but there was a deep hunger in my heart after the word of God to hear the message. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Hearing the message from the lips of Jesus into our hearts. And the more I heard it, the more acceptable it was to me. I didn't realize it then. The Holy Spirit was imparting faith to my heart to believe the message, to believe the promises, to believe the word of God, that there was an escape, there was a way out from under all of this curse, all of this judgment. All I could see was judgment, judgment. But now, under the preaching of the message, the preaching of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, then I can see there was hope. 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 Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit convinced me of my sin of unbelief. He convinced me of my unrighteousness and the judgment I was under. He brought me to my utter helplessness and hopelessness. In other words, He brought me to the end of my way, end of myself, end of my reasoning, and the end of my opinions, everything. And I like the statement that Dr. Copeland expressed here some time ago. And he wrote me, when a sinner wants to be saved, he tells that sinner to drop dead. And that means the end of self. That means the end of everything. All self-hope. All human hope. All human reason. In Isaiah 40, we find every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now I'm telling you, God's not going to give man any glory in the salvation of a sinner. God's going to get all the glory. And when you're saved, you're going to be praising none other but the Lord. And you're not going to be praising a man. And no matter if they tell you you're following a man, you know who you're following. You know who you're praising. You know where your hope lies, just like mine. And brother, I'm telling you, I praise the Lord to this day. He didn't let me go. He loved me. Yes, the Spirit of God, which is the breath of God, withers away the flesh before the glory of the Lord is revealed. There's a song that we sing. We sang it this morning. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. Well, if there was any time a needy sinner, that was me. I was needy. Now, what was I in need of? I was in need of God's salvation. I was in need of Christ's righteousness. I was in need of His precious blood. I was in need of His mercy. Yes, the Spirit of God, He withers everything away. And then you see yourself one in need. I was poor and needy. And the Holy Spirit showed me that need. Oh, but I do praise the Lord this morning for the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've told this story before, let me say it again in closing. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Copeland. I didn't mean to take so long. September of 1952. The Holy Spirit was leading me, teaching me, bringing me along the way, giving me a cry in my heart after the righteousness and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess I was just so hungry, so much so thirsting after Him. I wanted Him so badly. My family didn't mean anything to me. My job, I'd go on a job, I'd cry, I'd mourn. Lord, if I only knew You as my Lord, my Savior. I'd call the pastor and say, pray for me, Pastor. But do you know there was a time that I quit asking people to pray for me? I mean, the Lord just took every self-help away from me. The Holy Spirit was fixing my eyes upon One who was all my help, all my righteousness, all my covering. And so, I know that September, I was in my backyard, the Monday after Sunday, out there, with a hunger in my heart after Christ, the burden of my sins. And the Holy Spirit pointed me to the Lamb, to God's substitute. The burden was gone. Where were they? All in Christ. I was made to look away. The eye of faith, true faith, enabled me to embrace, to accept what God, who God was satisfied, the offering, the sacrifice, God's substitute for sinners. I said, something's happened to me. Something's happened to me. What's happened? Is this salvation? I know. I went in the house. I said, honey, God saved me. God delivered me. God took away the sins. I don't know where they are. They're gone. That was September the 17th, 1952. I know Satan fought me after that, and I waited before the Lord. I wanted to be sure that was so. But as time went on, full assurance came. I looked for condemnation. It was not there. I looked for my sins. The Holy Spirit says, they're with Christ. They were put on Christ. He bore your sins. Took them away. The Father has hidden them. He was satisfied. I was satisfied. And I've been talking about the Lord Jesus ever since 1952. And I'm going to continue to talk and tell you what He's done for me. But let me tell you one thing in closing. Salvation is wholly of grace. Salvation is an inward work by God's Holy Spirit. It does away with all man-made professions. Because if anyone would have been saved by man-made opinions and ideas and everything else, it would have been me. I was baptized several times. I made professions several times. It did not hold. But let me tell you, brethren, today what I have is going to hold. And if you got Christ, you're going to hold. It's been holding for 20 years. And I praise the Lord for it. Do you know Christ? Do you know Him? Can you say, I know Him? Are you rejoicing in Him? Or are you looking for something else? You must look to Christ. You must come to Him as the Holy Spirit draws you. Yield yourself unto Him. I felt like I failed. I did not tell it like I wanted to, but perhaps I told it like the Lord wanted me to. So we praise the Lord for it.